With the kids, I kind of debated back and forth after Pastor Scott called me Tuesday morning, you know, do I kind of focus on that? And we have the prayer partner thing going on, so I'm like kind of torn back and forth a little bit what I should focus on. And these, Jeremiah 1:1-10 kind of came to mind, and I believe that's what God wanted to speak to us this morning. So, and I did not have time to practice all the pronunciations in this for sure, so you have to forgive me on that. As we'll get through this. The words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Antioch, in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. And through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And this is really kind of the verse that stuck out to me. "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I don't know how to speak. I am too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send to you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "I put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms, to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." Jeremiah 1:6 gives us Jeremiah's response to God's call. "Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." And that's kind of the verse I wanted to focus on. You know, with the youth today, you know, they can come up with all sorts of excuses that, you know, I'm too young or I don't have enough experience. But how many of us, too, make up excuses? You know, I'm not the pastor, I'm this, or I don't know that. So I think it applies to every single one of us. He feels a sense of inadequacy. "I don't know how to speak." And he says that this inadequacy is because he is too young for the job that God is calling him to do. "No, I realize that God is not calling most people in this room to the kind of authoritative prophetic ministry Jeremiah was to have. But I think the principle here will apply to everyone who desires to accomplish the service or outreach or church ministry that God has called you to and put into your heart. There may be some here who say, "I don't have enough experience," or "I don't have the maturity that is needed," or "I don't yet have the ability needed." But sometimes our perceptions about ourselves are wrong. God sees things we don't see and creates things in us that we don't know we could have. This doesn't mean that gifts don't count. It means that when the Holy Spirit inclines you to serve people in a certain way, your objections need to be met with the encouraging word of God. There are three encouragements that God gives to Jeremiah because he was young, and I believe he gives it to all of us. God gives us reasons why Jeremiah's objections shouldn't keep him from following the call. He says in verse 7, "Do not say I am only a youth. Do not use your youth as an excuse not to venture something great for God." How many of us come up with excuses? And here are three main reasons why Jeremiah and us should be excited at the call to serve the God. Number one, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." The first reason Jeremiah should be encouraged to take up the ministry is that his very life is rooted in the unshakable sovereign purposes of God. There are four acts of God surrounding the birth of Jeremiah. First, God knew him. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." God took Jeremiah into his loving care. He set his loving eye upon him and chose him. That's the biblical idea of God knowing his people. This is true for every child of God, according to Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Second, God consecrated him. Before you were born, I consecrated you. God set him apart for some very special holy purpose. He destined him for something significant. And that is true for us also. In giving every Christian grace and gifts, God consecrated us to be like Jesus and to use our gifts for his glory. Third, God formed Jeremiah in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. What Jeremiah became through the genetic makeup of his mother and father was no accident. God shaped and designed him in his mother's womb. The Hebrew word tesor refers to the design of a house or the sculpting of a statue. The you that God has to work with today is a you that God has designed and knows very well. If God calls you to something, it is because the design is right and he has a purpose for you. Fourth, God appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. This is why Jeremiah was born. This was his destiny. And you have one also. No Christian exists merely to make an honest living, raise a family, enjoy retirement, and then die. Every one of us is called to ministry. So the great first incentive to take up our ministry is that our life is rooted in the unshakable sovereign purposes of God. We are not our own. We are God's. We are not self-made. We are God-made. We did not first choose him. He first chose us. We are not an accident. We are a design. Our life is rooted in God, and that great source of strength and stability is accepting God's call. The second reason God gives to young Jeremiah that he should overcome his fearful objection is that God's authority is behind his going and his speaking. This is found in verse 7. The Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth.' For all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak." The emphasis here is on God's sending where he will. And God's commanding what he wants said. Jeremiah's youth, it does not matter if he is sent by God's commission and if he is speaking what God has commanded. The same point about his speaking is made in verse 9. The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." And then the power and effectiveness of Jeremiah's word is described in verse 10. "See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." In other words, when Jeremiah speaks the words of God, when he announces judgment or when he promises blessing, it will come to pass. Judgments will break down and promises will build up. Not because of young Jeremiah, but because of the word of God is a powerful thing. Amen? What all this means for us is this. To the degree that you are led by God into a path of service today, and to the degree that your words confirm what the Bible really teaches, and to that degree, you can say with Jeremiah, "I am not here by my own commission, nor do I speak with my own authority, but I am sent by God, and what he commands is what I say. I am humbled by my youth," or whatever it may be, "but I am encouraged that my commission and my word are not my own." The third reason God gives Jeremiah not to let his youth deter him from his ministry, is that God will be with him to deliver him. Verse 8, "Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." A great obstacle to serving the Lord, especially among the young, but it happens to every one of us, is fear of rejection and opposition. All kinds of thoughts enter the mind about how some people might not like the way I do it. People might disagree or be offended. I might make a mistake and then get criticized. The fear of man is a great hindrance to ministry. But God says this, "Do not fear, because I will be with you and I will deliver you." God's presence and approval are more valuable than all the accolades of man. And God says that in that throughout all your troubles, I will deliver you. You will triumph in the end. You will be more than a conqueror. And here are a few verses that help remind us that. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, I'm going to kind of paraphrase this. God has said, "I will never fail you or forsake you. Therefore, we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?"
Or woman.
Romans 8, 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? So God said to Jeremiah, and God says to us and the younger people today, whom he is calling to serve him, "Do not say, I am only youth." Why? One, because our life is rooted in the unshakable sovereign purposes of God. You have been chosen and consecrated and formed and appointed for a great purpose. Because God's authority, not our own, is behind our going and our speaking. And third, because God himself will be with you to deliver you in all of our trials. Amen. So with that, the youth part of that verse, I always think of 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16, and this verse always touches my heart. And I'm going to want to close with this. Verse 12, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for those believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through prophecy when the body of elders lay their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Every Christian is given at least one spiritual gift with which to serve the Lord and build up the body of Christ. But many believers neglect the special empowerment of the Spirit. Even though if Timothy may have had some good reasons to forsake his calling from God, Paul advised him to be diligent in these matters and to give yourself wholly to them. I like how the New King James Version put this verse. "Do not neglect the gift that is within you." It's already there as a believer. We already own it. We just have to be able to use it. When Karen and I first became believers, our home church, you know, we worked with the youth, we worked with children, and that was kind of what we wanted, you know, that was what we believed God was calling us to do. And then Pastor Scott and Don left. My mic's falling off there. There we go. Pastor Scott and Don left, and we told them, you know, that was in my heart and in my mind, that's what I thought. You know, if Pastor Scott's going to, you know, if he's going to start a church, here's our chance to do youth ministry the way we want to do youth ministry. And, you know, we helped with the church plant in Kalamazoo. And I'm standing up here today. And if you would have told me I would have been up here today, 5 years ago, I don't know if I would have signed up. Don't neglect the gift God has given you. He's going to prosper you. He's going to use it. And He's going to use it for His glory. Amen? First Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. God has given us each a gift. Do not neglect the gift God has given you. Just like Jeremiah, he was called. He had excuses, but God called him for a greater purpose. God has called each and every one of us to a greater purpose. We can't neglect it. We can't make excuses for what God has called us to do. Amen? So the other part of that verse in 1 Timothy, and what I want to do, because Pastor Scott's gone, we're not going to have prayer meeting tonight, and I knew we'd have a little time because I had a mini sermon this morning, is I want to pray over three things this morning. So we're going to have prayer service here this morning to close out the service. So the first thing I want to do is I want to have the kids come back up. All the kids, including the youth ones.